Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Hey, it's Jeff. Hey, Jesse. Jesse's not here this week. We have no Jesse. He's back east supporting the Washington Redskins in their dream season. But we do have Shane Brendan in studio. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, man. It's good to be here.
Yeah?
Unfortunately, Jesse's not here. That kind of sucks, but...
I apologize. It's just me.
I'm not disappointed.
I know you had a lot of expectations.
So many questions for Jesse.
I texted him to see if he's going to call, so we'll see.
Yeah? Okay.
And I'll let him know that you're really disappointed he's not here. We are off to a terrible start.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Hi, Jesse, wherever you are.
Yeah, he's in Baltimore. He's living it up with his family.
Okay, well, that's a good reason to not be here.
Yeah. How was your... Did you do any shows this week?
I had... what did I do this? I had Till 2.
Okay.
For the first time.
First time doing there?
Yeah.
You've been there before? Or is it
I've been going there just to hang out and watch, all you guys do your thing there. And then Wednesday, it was Madhouse.
Madhouse?
Yeah, for Comedy Juice.
First time doing that, too?
That was second time.
Okay.
Second time doing the Juice. So it was fun. Yeah, two shows. That's about two book shows anyway. So
did you do the Palace open mic on?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, yeah, I did the normal thing like Palace Monday. What else? Yeah, it was Palace on Monday, and then of course Till 2 on Tuesday, and then Madhouse on Wednesday.
Was there a crowd at Till 2?
It started off kind of, they slowly drifted in there. Gordon was going to put me on pretty early, and then I didn't get bumped in a bad way, but I guess he knew it was my first time being there, and he wanted to. I had some friends that were supposed to show up, but they bailed because they're really good friends.
Yeah.
So the more Gordon kept pushing me down a little bit, by the time I got on stage, it was pretty packed, so it was fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Not people that came to see you though.
No. The people I expected to be there, which were only two. Which they shall remain nameless at this point, but
they're probably not going to listen to this.
No,
if they didn't go see your show,
they don't care about anything that I'm doing right now. And these are the people I surround myself with.
Yeah. So. What about the Juice? I heard that's normally pretty good.
The Juice was it was a good crowd. It's always, I guess, a good crowd. They always give out those tickets for people to come back any Wednesday, and it's always there's always a good crowd there. It was pretty packed.
You went up second.
I actually ended up hosting.
Okay.
Yeah. I showed up and Brian Simpson, he asked me if I wanted to host, and I was like, sure, I'll do it.
All right.
So, and that was actually fun. I liked hosting rather than, just doing my spot, I guess,
because right.
It was a fun crowd. So I did my set in the beginning, and in between comics, I had a little time to just pick up.
Did you do Shooters on Thursday? Or did you do?
I did do Shooters.
It was a little crazy.
Things got a little out of hand.
Yeah.
There's something about three really, really inebriated Mexican fellas outside getting ready to get into it with little Jeffrey.
Oh, they were going to fight Jeffrey. Burner?
Burner was, cause Burner just stands around out there. And
that's interesting. I didn't hear that part. They were going to fight him. That's.
Before I got there, as it was told to me by Jimmy Wolpert, that there was three Mexican dudes were in there and they were picking on this lady or something like that, and then it drifted to outside, and of course Jeffrey is outside, and that's when I showed up, so the whole gang was outside, and I sensed that something was going to get a lot worse than it was,
right?
And so I just walked back in, because... Those dudes, they looked hammered, and that lady looked a little...
That's not a safe area. I was surprised that the show kept going on. Ryan Hicks said, it was really, dangerous in there for a little bit.
It got terribly aggressive.
Yeah.
And the mood was, not fun.
Yeah.
At all.
Sounds terrible.
It was getting super sketchy. And as all this is going on, I come back outside, and David Zafra is like, do you want to do, what was it, Salt Your Own Popcorn right now, an interview? And I'm thinking,
that's a great Zafra impression. Just very timid. Hey, guy that's taller than me, do you want to do something that great. I have on film?
I was like, yeah, let's just pull out this expensive camera right here.
I have a camera taped to pipes that I got at Home Depot. Do you want to record this right now?
And we did it.
Yeah.
Like right there in front of that closed down Quickie Mart place or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, last week when he interviewed me, it was that car chase that was down in OB. I don't know if you heard about that, but there was a guy that was getting chased by the cops that he was just circling around OB. They ended up, like, he ran over tire strips and so.
And he just kept it going?
Yeah.
Did you guys catch the audio?
He got it. He's getting all the dangerous spots. I like it.
It puts you on the spot. It makes you be a good, I guess, person to interview when you're terrified to talk about
everything.
Life.
Yeah. And then I saw something about you did a show with some Navy people. Where was this at?
Oh, God. I think, are you talking about the Facebook?
I do my research, bro.
Oh, thanks, man. No, I didn't do it with Navy people. I was at Habano's last night.
Okay. I was there, but you must have left.
I bolted out of there.
Okay. It was a rough one last night.
How'd it go for you?
You
do well. It didn't matter where you go. So
I did okay. I wouldn't say I was happy about it.
No,
I was just kind of ripping on the whole show and just saying like that. I'm glad the ropes are here so I can go ahead and hang myself. That's perfect for the setting here. But
that's what that place is, man.
Last time I did it was fun.
The
time before it was horrible, and then this time was. It was probably a C, but it wasn't good for it.
I just don't feel like I'm there where I can, I don't know, make something from nothing out of that place. It just feels like I'm at my grandparents' house when I go there.
Yeah.
And they hate me and I'm inconveniencing them and they're just put off by me. And
let me ask you a question. This is kind of somewhat off topic. You're multi-raced?
I am multi. I'm a little. Biracial?
Biracial, that's the term. Okay, I think the guys in the back were black, correct?
There were two. There was one super black guy.
Right.
One average black guy, I guess. And then a Mexican dude.
Okay. So I've had multi-raced people. Do you feel more like you have something to prove to black? Because have you not been accepted by one race?
Yeah, that's 30 years worth of that.
Okay.
It's basically a... Too white for the black kids, too black for the whites,
okay.
Kind of thing.
So does that add, have you done a room that's predominantly black?
A black room? No.
No.
I haven't done a black room, but I've been, I talked to a comic who, I guess he just does, he's a black comic, I guess you can call him that. You know.
He doesn't have a name, he just goes by black comic.
Black comic. I'm black comic.
But it's spelled with 2-7 Qs.
B-L-A, what, Q-U-E?
Yeah.
He asked me if I had done any.
I liked you brought the black guy.
I'm talking about black guys
okay.
right now.
I like that.
Well, he asked me if I had ever done a lot of these places. Like, you ever been to Tina's?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to, I don't know, Wally's Chicken Shack? I don't fucking know. Like,
is that a new show? Wally, come down to Wally's Chicken Shack. We got great wings and jokes.
Wings and jokes.
It's
mom. Bring your mama. Like all that. And I was like, no, I haven't.
Right.
He's like, well, I thought you said you're a comedian. And I was just like, well, yeah, I do mics a lot and I'm all over town.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, well, if you haven't done this place and that place and Uncle Larry's help, you know, then I guess you aren't my kind of comic.
Right.
And I was just like, well, I guess not, man.
Did you even know about these shows?
No.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Right.
But he showed me flyers and stuff.
Okay.
It's usually like the, what do you call it, like the mics that are just like slam poets.
Okay.
Really like Afrocentric.
I don't even know what that word means.
Oh, it's like when people are overly, I don't want to say overly black or whatever, but I guess it's like super, super proud.
To be black,
not only black, but like it's a competition of blackness. I guess.
Okay.
It's like, oh, you're black. Well, how black are you?
Right.
This is the black thing I've done today. What did you do black today?
Right.
That kind of thing.
I've had Adam Connie on, and he talked about, and he's full black, but he doesn't feel comfortable performing in those rooms.
In those rooms.
I mean, would you do it if asked?
Yeah. I haven't turned down any...
Any show.
Any show.
Okay.
Like, I'm too new in the game to be choosy, I guess. I'm just trying to get on a microphone. So I wouldn't know. I mean, like, if I got approached by, you know, like a room where it's a predominantly black crowd, I'd go in there and see what I can do.
Because
I don't think any of my comedy pertains to, like, any one demographic or...
Right.
A group. I just kind of write down random funny things and see if it works.
Okay.
So
you wouldn't feel added pressure, do you think?
No, I stopped feeling pressure about, you know, appeasing one of two of my races a long time ago.
Okay.
It just kind of makes things a little easier for me to not care.
Right.
About how black I should be.
Okay.
Or Filipino I should be.
Right.
One of the two.
But you don't really talk about either in your act.
No. I don't. I think it's obvious that there's something going on with my face. I did have like an opener where I talk about, you know, my mom being Filipino, my dad being black, which is why I look like if President Obama and Tiger Woods had a baby.
Okay.
And every time I told that bit, there's always somebody just like, well, yeah. Or, oh, no, you don't say you are. Okay, well, I don't need to talk about that anymore, I guess.
Okay.
Since it's obvious.
But you haven't, I mean, a lot of times Filipino or black comics, they talk a lot about, that's just what they talk about. Have you made a conscious effort to not do that?
I don't know. There are a lot of comics I like that are, you know, Asian, Filipino and stuff like that. And I think they're...
Well, we gotta go to break here,
yeah, okay.
So we'll get more with this back when we come back from the break. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Be back in 3 minutes. .com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we're back with Shane Brendan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
So, Shane, you've been doing comedy, you just said, like, a couple of months now?
Yeah, the first Monday in August at the beloved Comedy Palace.
Mm-hmm.
that was my first time getting up, and it went surprisingly well.
Okay.
I had some jokes prepared, and I just bailed on all of it.
Okay. Like, was there a crowd there?
Yeah, it was strangely unusual after talking to some of the guys afterwards. They're like, yeah, there's usually no one here.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is your first time going up, you got really, really lucky.
Yeah.
I think it might have been just one or two guys that brought a lot of people to come see him. But when I showed up, you know, it was...
And you didn't have anybody? You didn't bring anyone?
I didn't want anyone to know.
Okay.
A lot of my friends still don't know
okay.
that I do this. So I definitely didn't want them to come see me possibly eat it on stage.
Right.
So yeah, I was really excited about it, man. Like I think the first show I saw was at ACC and it was like 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
So I just jotted down any random thing and I like worked into three jokes.
And so when you went to ACC that first time, you were thinking about starting comedy?
I've always thought about it. And this has been in like 5 years in the works.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Wanting to do it and, when I went to ACC, I saw the Eric Andre show. Yeah, him and Hannibal were there. And I was just like, you know what? That's it. I'm not going to be a pussy anymore. I'm just going to go do it.
Right.
And like, then I looked up the palace and did the whole sign up online thing. Showed up. And yeah, it was ridiculous. There were a lot of people there.
Right.
And I think that's the reason why I bailed on my I just panicked.
Okay.
And
I did that the first time I did comedy as well.
Yeah.
You know, cause did you look at the crowd and being like, these jokes are not going to work with these people?
No, it's just sheer like fear.
Okay.
I panicked. And I didn't even give myself a chance to like tell the bits that I had.
Okay. So what did you talk about?
I just did what I know now to be crowd work.
Okay.
But it was all like fight or flight for me. I didn't want to just stand up there and not do anything. So it's just like, hey, what's up? And then just started going at people. Not in an aggressive way, but
right.
just, I guess, making fun of myself in the situation. I think I made note that I had no idea what I was doing and all that.
Okay.
And
do you have any formal experience? Have you done improv or anything like that?
Yeah, well, back in college, there was a few sketch comedy troupes that I wasn't a performer in. I just did a lot of writing for her.
Okay.
And my background is in writing for television and film and stuff like that. So I guess I just been, I'm at ease, I guess, in front of a crowd.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me. Probably has something to do with the music thing. I was a band nerd for a long time, and I played in a lot of bands and did a lot of performances and stuff, so I don't really, it doesn't bug me at all.
Did you sing?
I did not.
No. Okay.
I played the drums.
Okay.
So I was way in the back.
How would you compare music to comedy?
It's one and the same, I think. It's still like a mental, it's a big mind fuck, from, you know, conception of an idea and just like going draft after draft after draft of what you're trying to create and then trying it in front of people.
Did you write music at all?
No.
Okay.
Just did a lot of playing. I had the singers and guitar players handling all that stuff.
Okay.
I just showed up and just did what I had to do and then got stoned and then left. Yeah. So
why did you choose to get out of the music biz?
The biz. I was on a music scholarship. And then when I dropped out, I had no reason to really play anymore.
Okay.
And, you know, living in a lot of studio apartments, you can't really bang on it.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up out here.
Okay.
And I went to several different colleges, tried it, bombed out, and I ended up, the school I spent the most time at, by the time I finished, was University of Memphis.
You sound like you're in prison.
I did
prison
my bit
I spent
everywhere.
The much time in.
Yeah, I did my time, yeah. Bounced around, yeah.
So how recently did you graduate?
Oh, well, see, that's the thing. I'm still working on all that stuff, man.
All right.
It's been a long, long
time. Yeah, because you're how old now?
I'm 30. I'll be 31 next month.
Okay, and you're still trying to get your degree?
Yeah.
So this whole time, since 18 to 30, you've pretty much been working on getting a degree?
Well, I did some time in the Navy.
Okay.
Yeah. Once I bombed out of school officially, I had nothing going on. I was just like, I'll go be a freedom fighter.
Okay.
My old man is a retired Navy dude, so
okay,
it just made sense.
How did he feel about you joining the Navy?
He hated it.
Yeah?
I just dipped out one day.
What do you mean by dipped out?
Like, I dropped out all my classes.
Okay.
I gave my roommate like the last month's rent. I got rid of a lot of my shit, and I went to a recruiter's office, and was just like, "All right, let's go, let's do this."
And you had you thought about this previously?
Nothing.
It was a spur of the moment thing.
It was, yeah.
To give you your next 4 years to.
I had nothing.
Okay.
I had nothing going on, and I just wanted to get out of town because I was living with my folks back in Memphis, and I remember the whole Navy thing came into play. I was at Wendy's in the drive-thru. I was super baked. I should have been in a class, and like, I woke up late for a class, and it was important, and I knew I just failed it all or whatever. So
right.
I got stoned and went to Wendy's,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in the parking lot of Wendy's eating some nuggets, and it's in one of those shopping centers. It was like a recruiting center there, a recruiting station.
Okay.
And there was a Navy dude outside. Smoking a cigarette. And I was just like, yeah, man.
I could do that.
Yeah, there it is. And so I
want to smoke a cigarette outside of Wendy's for the rest of my life.
He was just looking at me, and I'm just like, just sitting there in my car eating these nuggets. And he just kind of gave me a look like, you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, you got nothing.
Right.
Why don't you just come on over
and
here?
And you were high at the time.
I was just baked.
And you go and talk.
I had no idea.
And he was cool with that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this dude had like gold teeth.
Nice.
And Omar Bell, that's the dude's name. He's like, hey, man, what you doing? I was just like, just eating some nuggets, man, hanging. He's like, what you thinking about? I was like, I'm thinking about doing what you're doing. He's like, oh, man, you don't want to do that. And I was like, I think I want to do that.
That is the worst recruiter ever.
It gets worse because he asked me, he's like, are you high right now? I was like, I am high. He's like, you got some more weed on you? I was like, I do have more weed. He's like, you're going to have to stop smoking it. I was like, okay. He's like, well, just give me whatever you have left. And I gave him the rest of my weed.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he smoked it.
Okay.
He looked like that kind of guy.
And you followed him into the office? And this is...
Well, he told me I couldn't come in there that day because I was really,
okay,
really baked. He's like, you come holler at me tomorrow.
Plus, he had to sell you weed.
I'm going to get rid of these bags.
Yeah.
And then we'll get you in. Yeah, I came back the next day, and I walked in, and I was just like, what do you have? How can I get out of here now?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, are you running from the law? And I was like, no. You can look all that stuff up. And they did. And he was like, yeah, you don't have anything, you know, no warrants or anything. No one's looking for you. I was just like, I want to go, dude. I want to leave right now.
Right.
Like, I hate this place. I got nothing. Let's just go. And so I went from that day, signing the papers, like a week and a half later, I was on a flight. Yeah. To Great Lakes.
And you were how old at this time?
22.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
so. So how many years did you do in the Navy?
It was a total about 8, I think.
Oh, you did 8 years?
Yeah.
So you recently got out then?
Well, it's like I'm not out of the Navy. When your contract's up, there's like 4 years of reserve time.
Right.
That whole kind of thing. But I'll be done, officially done, December of 2014.
Okay. So do you do weekends?
The weekend warrior thing, like the reservist kind of thing. Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to. Whenever they need you.
Oh, okay. So it's not thing. You don't have to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll kind of get in trouble if you don't.
Okay.
But there's ways. I have Facebook friends that are Navy.
Okay.
So I don't want to.
You don't want to let them know how it goes.
I don't want to put my. That's how he's doing it.
Okay. Well, I mean, other comics have gone through boot camp. How was boot camp for you?
Oh, it was terrible.
Okay. You're the first one that said it was terrible.
It was absolutely terrible. Because, mm-hmm. like, I was, like, coming down off. People say you can't get addicted to weed or whatever.
Mm.
But I smoked a lot of it. And, like, that first couple of weeks, not being able to smoke anytime I was stressed, which was all the time.
Yeah.
That was a thing. That and
did you go through any withdrawals or anything like that?
I did, but I don't think it was from the weed. I had the last time I bombed out of school, it was because I had a really, really bad like coke habit.
Okay.
Yeah. And the time between me like having an OD and joining the Navy and all that, there wasn't a whole lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't like completely clean, you know what I mean? Just long enough so that I can pass one of their drugs.
Was that any reason why you joined to try to help you kick
yeah,
that?
I needed to get away from a lot of because I was forming a lot of habits that probably if I was still into them I wouldn't be here anymore. So
okay,
I figured hey, if they're gonna whisk me away and put me on a boat
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the ocean, I'll do that.
Okay, so where'd you get stationed first?
I got stationed in Jacksonville, Florida, in a helicopter squadron.
Yeah. Okay. What was your MS or MO? Or?
No, my job, I was an undesignated guy, which I was just like an all-purpose dirty dude. I did everything they wanted me to do, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a real thing?
Yeah, or? It sucks. it's the worst job you can pick.
Yeah.
Undesignated.
Why did you pick that?
Because it was leaving, like, within a week.
Okay, so you really just wanted to get out.
I just wanted to get out, so I took whatever they gave me.
Okay.
And it was terrible.
Yeah?
It was absolutely terrible.
Seems like you had a lot of misery in your life.
I just made a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We got more with Shane when we come back. And if you want to call us, you can call us at 866-977-2346, extension 2. Or you can call us internationally at 858-623-0126. So if you met Shane somewhere overseas on the boat, call him. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Be back in 3 minutes.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back with Jeffrey Bilodeau and no Jesse, but we do have Shane Brendan, ladies and gentlemen. So, Shane, after that first show, where did you go from there?
First show at the Palace? Or?
Yeah. You were hooked after that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did surprisingly well, mm-hmm. I thought, and Then I think it was Hicks. Ryan Hicks was outside smoking with some other guys, and he was like, hey, man, it was pretty good. Do you know about any other shows? And then he just kind of gave me the rundown of the mics.
Okay.
Or actually, he put me I requested him as a friend on Facebook, and then he put me in the San Diego
Comedians page. There you go. And so he didn't accept your friendship? He just sent you to that?
He accepted me.
He's like, I don't want you to be friends, but you can check out this page
easy there.
With a bunch of vomit on it.
Oh, yeah, that was my immediate reaction to going on that page.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, wow, none of these dudes like each other.
Right. Yeah.
It was pretty bad, but he gave me a heads up. He's like, hey, man, this is a good page to be in so you can see where all the mics are. Don't say anything on the page. It's probably best if you just
That's good advice.
And it worked out very well. It was entertaining to read a lot of that stuff. But I never once felt the urge to comment on anything or something.
No. It's much tamer than it used to be. There used to be wars, like, at least once a week. Like, bitter wars of people.
Comedy beef, man. It was great. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned don't comment. Whenever I find myself feeling that I need to comment to someone, I just block them.
Yeah.
So I don't see what they say anymore because I don't want to be one of those people that are just commenting, but sometimes people just say just ridiculous things and I'm like,
you can't help
what
it.
The F are you talking about?
You have to go in and, that makes sense.
So I just block them.
Yeah, there's been some crazy stuff on there that I kind of read and, it just keeps me from not wanting to say anything at all.
Right.
I'll just check to see like who's doing the show or where a mic is or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, after that I went to, I think I went to ACC and I didn't get up. I didn't get up at ACC for like a couple months.
Really?
That whole lottery.
And you went every week?
Yeah. Yeah. I went every week and sat there. I think that was back when Bo Scott was hosting.
Okay. It was better when Bo was hosting.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. It was really fun when Bo hosted. It wasn't rigged like it is now that Ula does it.
Yeah.
Is it rigged? I just know Ula's going to listen. I don't want to fuck with him. Were you thinking it was rigged when it was a couple of months of you not getting on?
Yeah. I was in my... I was so new, I was just playing the wall and just watching how it all went down. I saw the guys that would show up that I knew didn't sign up, you know, but I knew that who they were. I'd see them come in, talk to Bo or whatever, and then boom, they're up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see the regular guys that I've gotten to know now and see all the time, and I'm like, okay, well, they're regulars. People know who they are.
Right.
That's why they're getting up. I'm not getting up because no one knows who I am.
Okay.
I always had this vision of maybe someone pulling out my name with the ticket on it, or the ticket with my name on it.
Right.
And just like, Shane Brendan. No. Let's just
needs
make
to
up
get
a
his
name.
Shit together.
Yeah. It can be no one.
Let me ask you, as somebody that's new, do you think that's good or bad that people, let's say for myself, example, I've been doing comedy almost 5 years. Do you think I should get up or do you think it should be a lottery? You can answer honestly.
Ugh.
Or anybody, you know, Sam Wiles or.
Well, that's hard because a huge part of me knows, like, if I'm sitting there as I am just right now, if I'm at ACC and I showed up to sign up and all that, but you come walking in or Sam or Billy or any one of those guys, like, I want to see you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost looking forward to, like, you guys doing a drop in.
Right.
Because, like, I always want to, I got my favorite comics that I want to see. So, other than that, I guess if there's like a lull, cause a lot of times like maybe at the Palace or something like that, it's a good place to like work out stuff. And for me, it just feels like a safe place for newer comics to try some stuff out. But if there's like a run of 12 or 15 comics, like super new comics that have nothing funny to say and it's just like everyone's kind of getting a little anxious, then yeah, throw in a guy that's a little bit more seasoned, like mix it up a bit, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't, I'm on both sides of the fence with the lottery thing. I mean, if you get lucky enough to get up, then that's great. But if you get to a point where you can just walk in and say what's up to the host and you know you're going up, that's even better. I don't know. That's only happened to me a handful of times.
Right.
Which I'm still kind of like surprised that that's a thing that's being offered to me.
Right. Do you feel more pressure at ACC than the Palace or other places?
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, strangely enough, like, I've become really, really comfortable at ACC.
They've picked you to do, like, a Wednesday, right?
I've hosted and done a couple spots on a couple Wednesdays.
Okay.
Which was odd that that opportunity came by. I think I just had a really good set one night, and Tommy had kind of pulled me to the side and was just like, who are you? Yeah, okay. You need to talk to this guy.
Right.
And after that, it was just like I got a text message or a phone call, and they wanted me to host. Well, I didn't know I was hosting. It was when Kevin Farley came into town.
Okay.
It was me, Matt Lockwood, Sam Wiles, Kevin Farley, and he brought one of his guys, which that dude that he brought with him, I don't remember that guy's name. All I remember was he was really upset about the quality of the chicken Caesar salad there that night, and he would not let it go.
Really?
Like, we're sitting in the back room, and for half an hour, he kept going on and on about, have you guys eaten from the old menu? This is the new menu, right? Is the chicken Caesar salad on the old menu better than the new menu?
Did he think he knew a lot about chicken?
I think he did. he looks at Lockwood. He looks at Sam. He's just like, this guy knows black guy.
Chicken.
You know about chicken, right?
Well, Filipino too.
True.
You guys know a lot about chicken, right?
Both parts of me is really big fans of chicken.
Full chicken.
Full chicken. Half black, half Filipino.
How was hosting there? Did you go up? You had to do a set up top?
Yeah, yeah. I did five up top. And that time it was a little nerve wracking because it was just put on me that I was going to host. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to do it.
Right.
So I did it, and it went well. It was a fun night. I got called to come back again and host for, was it Nick Youssef and Kevin Christie?
Mm-hmm.
And those dudes were fun. They actually did like a live podcast there.
Oh, really?
I did 10 at the top, and I'm supposed to be doing some more there at ACC. So that's kind of trippy for me to think about, though.
Yeah, being so new.
Yeah, and the opportunities being presented at
has any stage. Of them asked you how long you've done comedy?
All of them do.
Oh, really? All and do you answer do. Honestly?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really know. They're like, how long have you been doing it? I'm like, I started in August. And then they just kind of give me a look like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just like, can I still come do it? Or
right.
Maybe I should have lied to you or something. But the first person to give me my first chance, like a book gig, was Brian Simpson for Juice. I did that within my first month of doing comedy, and I was...
Well, that's just like Dan Hirumi. Like, he did ACC for the second time ever doing comedy, then he got booked for a weekend.
That's awesome.
Which is crazy.
Well, Dan's hilarious. I like Dan. He's
but that's just crazy. It's just different.
I guess it kind of goes back to what you were saying about when you first started, you blogged everything, you know, about how it went. Something like that you can put into, you know, get it published, like what to expect when starting comedy. Like me, I just assumed that opportunities like a book show anywhere in a little coffee house or at one of the clubs, something like that wouldn't come along until, you know, well into my first year or something.
So you think it would take that? You thought you would just have to do, you didn't think like being, I'll be funny and then I'll get stuff?
No, I looked at it as like, okay, I think I can be funny, but I want to learn how to write some jokes, and I think it's just going to take me this long to, like, write some jokes, like, to tell. I mean,
do you think being older kind of made you think that way? Or maybe with the Navy, you know, it takes longer to progress?
Yeah, I think me starting at 30 and kind of, like, having a real sad, like, run of events for the last couple of years with trying to do things, it just gave me some perspective. Like, okay, dude, you think you're funny, your friends do, but you're not going to go in here and fool anyone, you know,
right.
Fool these guys who've been doing it longer and fool like a crowd of people who have grown accustomed to seeing what a good comic is. So just go in there, try to do your thing, shut the hell up and learn something, you know.
Okay.
Surround yourself with dudes who know what they're doing.
Do you regret starting so late?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. But on the other hand, it's like, I don't know what I would have been talking about if I would have started earlier,
because
back in the day, it was just like, okay, I smoke a lot. And
well, you've been in the Navy for 8 years. I don't think you've been smoking for 8 years.
No, but you know, like prior to that, you know
right.
what I mean? And being in the Navy, what am I going to talk about? Like I could have made some jokes about my day to day and what I do, but, I didn't find anything funny about the Navy. It was all depressing.
Okay.
And all makes me very, very unhappy.
Seems like we've already, I think everything makes you unhappy.
The only thing that doesn't is doing this, man. This is
okay.
The best thing I've
podcasting
ever done.
With me.
Podcasting with you, minus Jesse.
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
I mean, how do you go about writing now? Like, you sit down and write, or does stuff come to you and you...
I put it all on my phone, or if I'm at home, it's all on the laptop, or I'll stop what I'm doing, and I just jot down the premise.
Okay.
And I won't let it go. I'll just stare at it and keep working it, and I record a lot of it in my phone, just I listen to my own stuff.
So you actually, off stage, you'll like talk to yourself, kind of?
Yeah, I do a lot of that, which okay. gets weird.
Yeah.
But it helps. It helps.
You, so you don't actually pen on paper, right?
I do a lot of that too, but I tend to lose a lot of my loose leaves and notebooks and stuff like that. The phone just sticks with me. So
okay,
yeah. Anyway, I can get it down. I put it down.
And it's been the same way since you started.
Yeah. I mean,
have you tried different ways? Do you ever try to just work it out on stage?
Yeah, but that's failed horribly for me.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to break right now. When we come back, we'll talk about why Shane broke up A and B podcast. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. We'll see you in 3 minutes for the last segment. Stick around. Grab some milk. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back with the final segment, still without Jesse, but we do still have Shane in studio.
Still here.
So talk about, I mean, I know you didn't break up the podcast, but...
I totally broke him up.
Yeah, you think you did?
That was my intention.
Yeah, that's why you...
Like two black eyes.
Too many black eyes.
Two and a half black eyes.
Yeah, doing
this
stuff.
This thing will implode, yeah.
So you did like a couple episodes and then that was it?
Yeah, I sat down with... two very funny dudes, Brian Simpson and Adam Conney. I think I was a default guest the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was just hanging out with Adam.
It was probably me, because I bailed on him like seven times to do that podcast.
Yeah, I think I just came to, I was at a mic, it might have been the Madhouse, mm-hmm. and Adam was hanging out. He's like, what are you doing later? I was like, nothing. He's like, you want to be on a podcast? And I was like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we waited for Brian to get off work, and we just sat there and recorded it, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just shooting shit with those guys.
Right.
And afterwards, Brian was just like, because I'd never met Brian before.
Okay.
So we kind of got to know each other via the podcast. And then afterwards, he was like, that was really fun, man. You should come by and do it again. And I came by like two shows later. And I think I did one more. And they were like, why don't you just be a permanent thing? We were getting ready to retake the whole picture, you know, like, I think Adam's sitting Indian style on the floor. And like,
right.
I was going to sit in the chair.
Were they going to call it ABS after that?
they were trying to figure out what the hell are we going to call this. I was like, don't call it anything. Just
call it abs.
Keep it.
Just the logo abs. Will be Chip.
Black abs. Just Chip with his shirt pulled up.
Yeah.
With the faces of me, Brian, and Adam superimposed on each ab.
Yeah.
That'd be awkward.
That would be nice.
And sexy.
Yeah, I would like that. But you talked about you do your own podcast that you haven't released yet.
I've been hoarding episodes
okay.
of a podcast that me and Matt Lockwood started. It's called Wordplay.
Okay.
With Matt and Shane.
Okay. And what's
super creative.
What does it entail?
It's just I thought it'd be funny. Well, not funny. I thought it'd be cool to sit down with a lot of the guys, because there's a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, pretty much every other comic has a podcast.
Mm-hmm. This is the award-winning
podcast. But this is the award-winning one.
Just so we know.
This is pretty much the podcast.
I started it all, just so everybody knows. But continue.
I recognize the ones that started it all. But we, I am a big music head.
Okay.
And Matt approached me with the idea of starting a music podcast where it'd just be the two of us talking about music and tunes. He's actually a bigger hip hop guy than I am.
Okay. What are you into?
Everything else.
Country?
I dabble. Everything else except country.
Okay.
And
jazz.
I like jazz.
You look like you got a face for jazz.
I don't know how to take that. You got a jazz face. Yeah, he was like, why don't we just get together and talk?
Were you friends with him before this?
No.
Okay.
We just said what's up to each other every
now
and then.
He just liked your jazz face.
He likes my jazz face. I like that he was a very large white kid.
Okay.
And I needed some protection.
Okay.
And he provided that.
Does he really?
No, he okay. doesn't. He's a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, and I was just like, well, I've been getting to know a lot of the comics, and I was just like, everybody's really into music. I think there's like a really, really strong, bond between musicians and comics and all that. And I was just like, that'd be interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I slowly started to figure out that a lot of these guys have musical backgrounds or are musicians, you know, whether it's just hobby or they legitimately do it. So I told Matt, I was like, well, why don't we just interview comics and we just talk about music, give them a chance to not talk about comedy for a minute and just see, what are you listening to? What do you like? What did you grow up listening to? All that stuff.
And why have you chosen not to release it?
A lot of it is procrastination.
Okay.
A lot of it is...
Are you not happy with the product?
I'm happy with it.
Just not the quality of it.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, because it's
sound
real...
quality.
It's real sketchy right now. Like, we show up, we're either on Matt's back patio, like, exposed to the elements, mm-hmm. with just my laptop out, mostly so we can smoke cigarettes while we do it. But it's just... It's really casual, mm-hmm. you know, and after a while we forget that we're doing a podcast because I don't have mics. Not that I don't want them. It's just I can't afford them.
Right.
And I don't have the means to get all that stuff. So I still see it as getting together with a group of guys that I see on a regular basis anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talk about music, talk about what they like, what they don't like. We crap on albums that have just come out, or we promote some underground or local guys that we think people need to hear.
Right.
And it's fun. It's been really, a lot of people have really been into it as far as just the idea, because they haven't heard any of it.
Right.
But there's a lot of guys that walk up to me or Matt, like, hey, how the music thing, right? When can I come talk about music? Or like Evan Johnson.
Everyone wants to be on everything. they don't give a shit about your podcast. They're just like, when were you going
to
book me?
What are you going to ask me to do it? I was like, I don't ask anyone to do it. I didn't even know you guys knew about it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I listen to music. I'm like, good, man. Good.
Is that really something they need to tell you? I breathe air.
I breathe.
Can I get on your oxygen job? So going forward, I mean, I know you have a child. Does that add pressure to you to succeed?
It does pressure on me not to succeed, but it puts pressure on me to still be a presence in my daughter's life while I, like, do what I want to do. Like, I'm still responsible to be there and be with her and do things. Cause, you know, her and her mother, me and her mother, we're not together. So,
mm-hmm.
The time spent on a mic, you know, at a mic somewhere or doing a show is time that I could be with her, that whole thing.
Okay.
Or time with her is time I could be. So it's hard to find a balance.
So it's not like I need to make this work so I can support my daughter.
No, no. Okay. It's, for her, for as far as, I don't know, she's three, and she kind of already knows that I do this, which is really weird.
Mm. So she knows, but everyone else in your life
knows.
Does not know.
Everyone does not know. I just think that it'd be nice to make something out of comedy, whether it be stand-up or writing or performing.
Yeah, you talked about writing. Do you still do writing now?
I still write a lot. I do that a lot, probably a lot more than I'd write for stand-up. Which,
okay. What are you trying to write?
I'm a lot of spec scripts. I've been doing a lot of specs and a lot of sketch comedy type things.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly specs to try to break into some fellowships. And
yeah, you were talking about the sketches. Aren't you and Ryan Hicks starting up a show?
It's Ryan and Evan Jones. And Jamie and Brennan and a lot of those guys, the Genuine Class thing. I'm not a part of it.
Okay.
I'm not like in there. It's their thing. But they did ask me if I wanted to be involved in the first show. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll jump on it. Okay. As like a, you know, performer.
Right.
Which is something I definitely wanted to do from the first time I saw New Best Thing and all these guys doing their things.
Right. There, so in the immediate future, do you plan to stay in San Diego? Do you have plans to move up to L.A., New York?
Once I'm done here with work in December, I'll probably end up moving up north, whether it be the L.A. area, Long Beach, or something like that. But that's not for not to go break into comedy up there. Like, I'm actually trying to go to grad school up there. And
you haven't even finished your degree.
Well, I'll be done.
Okay.
I'll be done shortly.
I'm not going to finish my degree. Just going straight to grad school.
You can just walk in.
Yeah.
They don't check for anything.
So you're going to go to the LBC?
I might go to the LBC. This one over here is from the LBC.
He's pointing to his lovely girlfriend.
He's pointing to my lady.
Who hasn't listened to 1 second of the whole show.
She's doing
diving into her phone.
Angry Birds over there.
That is a giant phone she has.
It is.
But so you're going to go up there. And how does she feel about you doing comedy?
I don't know. I think she thinks
she's giving a thumbs
it's,
up.
She's doing that for you.
Yeah.
She hates it.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it.
Has she seen you do your little skits on
my
stage?
My skits.
Yeah.
Have you seen my skits? She's seen my skits.
Does she give you feedback?
Yeah, but it's totally biased.
Yeah.
She knows she has to say that I'm funny.
No. Nah.
She Or things won't happen. You know what I mean?
Things
won't happen.
Laying the hand down.
Yeah, well.
If you want this Shane dick, you better enjoy my comedy.
If you want the D, you gotta laugh it up, babe.
Yeah.
And she knows.
Yeah, she knows. That's a good woman right there. But you're a good man to move up there and support her with your comedy earnings.
We're going to live it up, man.
Yeah, you're living the dream. Well, that's it. We made it through already.
You were right. That was quick.
Yeah. Did you have fun?
It was great.
All right. Well, where can we see you soon?
I don't know. Wherever I'll be everywhere.
All right. He'll be everywhere. So check out Shane and his podcast that he doesn't release or shows he doesn't want to talk about.
And Facebook, too.
Yeah, Facebook or MySpace, either way. But, hey, this has been Comics Talk Comedy. I've been Jeff. We haven't had Jesse, but it's Comics Talk Comedy. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talks. Goodbye.